Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday.
Hey, real quick, Sean.
Yeah, Seth.
As I was telling you about the retirement community in Florida, it's called The Villages,
right,
in Florida. In case anybody else misunderstood, like a police officer here who works in the Villages, the Memorial Villages.
Here in Houston, yeah.
Informed me that none of this is true, what you're saying. It's a master planned community in Florida. The name of the town is The Villages.
Right.
I was not talking about the Hempshire Village or whatever those things are called over there.
All the villages between like Westheimer and I-10, west of the Loop. A lot of villages over there.
Hertfordshire Townshipshire or whatever those things are.
We're not saying they don't have a high STD rate over there. It's just not documented as high as the one at the retirement community in Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where you want to go if you want to get elderly gonorrhea. Yeah.
And who doesn't want
a finer vintage of gonorrhea?
Right, ages. Nothing
Doctor's
ages.
Like, ew, haven't seen this since 73. it's
an interesting blend. Someone says on the text page, just FYI, I'm an attorney. This goes back to, let me hit pause for a second here. This goes back to Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley giving golf carts to all of their offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And you and I pointing out that these are actually more useful than you think, because a lot of these guys live in gated communities where they ride around in their golf carts.
Just go see your buddies in the,
buddies, and as you said, you know, maybe skirt a DUI or two. He says, just FYI, I'm an attorney. I've handled many cases where a person driving a golf cart was charged with DWI. As you might suspect, many of the cases were stupid and were dismissed.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't an endorsement of driving your golf cart drunk on city streets. I just know that there are people that do that. Yeah.
It happens. It happens. So the college football playoff, the quarterfinals wrap up today. We will know who the final four teams are by tonight. Notre Dame plays Georgia today in a game at 3 o'clock that was postponed after the tragic events in New Orleans on the morning of January 1st, where a guy from here in Houston, actually, is where the truck initiated, and his home is here in Houston. At least there's a home under his name here in Houston. Mm-hmm. The perpetrator is dead. He was shot by police after running over dozens of people, killing 15, putting 30-plus more in the hospital. It was just an awful, awful, awful scene. And it led to a wider investigation in New Orleans of terrorist activity. They swept the Superdome again, seeing if there were any IEDs. And they thought that the better thing to do would be to take a day and push the game back, and it's going to be played at 3 o'clock today. And unfortunately, up until now, like, this is what, like, 7 games in, this playoff is probably has a dark cloud over it just based on what happened in New Orleans. Hopefully that, you know, with some football, that goes away. But you were about to say something. What were you going to say?
I think the house, as I understood it, the house in Houston is an Airbnb where he had been. But
okay.
Don't use me as your news source.
I just saw in the article said under his name. So it could be
Airbnb. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know.
Could be an Airbnb. Know. So some of this stuff, this tragedy may have taken place here in Houston. I know the truck that was used was rented, I want to say, in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. So there's that. It's a horrible, horrible story, and definitely thoughts and prayers go out to everybody affected by it. As far as the on-field goes, as far as the game goes, there's been some good and some bad. I was not a huge 12-team playoff advocate. As the season started to unfold and they started to release more and more of the seedings, and this is what the tournament would look like, that did get me kind of excited about it. I think there's been some good and some bad. I've got my list here, Seth. I got three things best and three things worst about the college football playoffs so far. Back of the napkin stuff. The best thing to me is the on-campus games. Like the games, the first round games being played in an on-campus atmosphere in places like Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, places like that. I think it's so badass that I agree with John Harris. I know one of the things he's talked about is making the quarterfinal games campus games as well. You know, make it easier for people to travel to go to these games.
Yeah, yeah. I like a lot of it. And part of it, though, too, is it's brand new. You know, like I don't think there's like people's patterns, especially around the holidays and between semesters and everything else like that. It's going to take a while for people to kind of adjust to the reality and the expectations of, you know, what you do with games like this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the idea of the more home games, the better. I know that then it becomes different with the actual bowl games themselves and all the finances surrounding that whole dynamic.
The bowls are a prominent part. Including the bowls in any sort of playoff structure has always felt like an essential part of the whole thing. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's number one. I love the on-campus games. Number two, and I think yesterday was a really good example of this, or the last 2 days, like the marquee players around the country getting a chance to see them perform on an elimination stage. Like, could Ashton Gentry carry Boise State to a win over Penn State? The answer was no, but it was fun to watch. Scataboo yesterday, who I know you like to call Pikachu, but Scataboo yesterday on Arizona State put together an amazing performance, especially during the comeback in that game. Like that
between Pikachu and the officials, that was a dicey scenario.
Dicey, man.
For the Longhorns.
What did you think of that targeting, the non-targeting call there on Texas? I think I'm in the minority where I'm like, I don't know, man. The guy had his head up. It was like a it was like more face mask to helmet.
Yeah, I guess, but there's helmet to helmet, so you got to call it.
Yeah. I hate the rule.
I try that. Like, I'm on the side of, like, I'd like to see it very rarely called. So I don't, like, that's my bias towards it.
I'm with you.
I would prefer that not to be targeting, and yet I feel like it's kind of like with Aziz Alshire. I don't think he deserved the 2-game suspension because there was an intent element to it that wasn't there. I don't think there was an intent the way people wanted to paint it out. But as far as it being penalized, I was like, yeah, that's what's going to happen these days. I get it. I understand. Probably should have been called.
Even though
I don't think it should have been, it probably should have been called.
Yeah, maybe Arizona State wins that game. They punted on the very next play, and it was in the last 5 minutes of the game. The third thing I really like, this goes back to a texter that texted before, just lamenting that New Year's Day, like the bowl season's kind of been bastardized by the playoff a little bit. I do love the scheduling layout in terms of it's revived New Year's Day. Like New Year's Day used to, like for the longest, like from the BCS through the 14 playoff, it had gotten kind of bastardized a little bit. Yeah. I love that yesterday, if there had not been a terrorist attack in New Orleans, we would have had playoff game at noon, playoff game at 3:30, playoff game at 7:30 or whatever it was Notre Dame and Georgia were supposed to play. That New Year's Day has been revived as this marquee day on the calendar for college football is really cool to me.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
And it does. I think there's a lot of potential here. I think we're going to be arguing about the details and the seeding and everything else that goes into it. Exactly which teams make it and which don't make it, especially among the lesser than the Power Five. But I like the potential for it.
Yeah,
I mean, because it looks a lot like how every single other freaking sport does it.
Besides their play,
They're just, I mean, like every for college football forever, it's been this. Oh, I don't know. Should we make it like every single other sport in America,
right,
and actually have it like, I don't know, boy, that would be a bold move. You mean doing it like every high school, college, NFL, Major League Baseball, AAU, everybody does it that way? Like, are we going to be bold enough to do it the way everybody else does it?
And yet you've got to keep a committee involved somehow.
Yeah, we can't go completely into just
making
it. You've
got to have a committee. If you don't have a committee and bureaucracy, then it ain't college sports.
Yeah,
baby.
You know what I think the NFL needs? They need even more like college, so we can argue endlessly about whether the 7 seed should or should not have made the playoffs.
You and I are going to disagree on this. If they did that for a year, that would be fun as hell. Just for a year. Just like, let it be, if you win your division, you're automatically in.
Yeah.
But then we argue, we debate over the wild card teams based on, I mean, like Cincinnati would be in if we were doing that, right? Like 8-8. they're a worse record than Denver and the Chargers and the Steelers, but Joe Burrow's an MVP candidate. They've won four in a row at the end of the year.
It's a lot. The thing that bothers me about it, bringing any kind of committee into it, is like college football is one of the most uniquely American things we do. And having a committee be a part of deciding it is like one of the most communist things we do. A committee of elders, wise elders, that are there for God knows why, and don't seem like they actually pay that much attention to it.
The three things that I have not liked about the college football playoff, the 12-team iteration that we've got right now so far, football-wise. I mean, obviously, I hate Notre Dame getting postponed for the reasons it did yesterday, but the three football things. Blowout Palooza. We've had seven games, and the only one that's been close is the Texas-Arizona State game, which was
a classic. It's been fun watching everybody kind of throw it in Herb Street's face as Saban and Herb Street acted like, oh, I can't believe Indiana is in the tournament with teams like Alabama.
You need to use that accent more. It's a perfect lead-in into my second thing. Blowout Palooza, that's an easy one. The games just haven't been great. I'm with you, and I'm with the coaches and the fan bases bitching and moaning about being the 12th best team in the country. And, I think a perfect example is Lane Kiffin, who, as the blowouts are unfolding in the first round of the playoff, he's retweeting all the results of it saying, great job, committee, great job. The implication being that the SEC should get more teams in, even though they lost three games. He was pretty quiet, if I'm not mistaken, about Tennessee losing by 25 to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Last I checked, Tennessee's an SEC team. So these coaches and these fan bases, hey, lose less. I would entertain your arguments if it were still a four-team playoff. And you were 11-1 or 12-1 or so, 12-1 and your only loss is in the SEC title game. I'm here for it. That you lost three games and two of them are to Kentucky and Florida.
Yeah.
Get bent. Get out of here.
It feels like a legacy. It feels like a rich legacy kid whining about not getting into Yale.
Yes.
I might not have gotten all A's, but my last name is Lichtensteiner or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just shut up, rich kid.
Shut up, Rock.
Same goes for you. Every entire SEC. You don't get to ride Nick Saban's jock strap into the national championship.
Yeah.
All right.
Hell out of here, Rockefeller. Get out of here.
Do something with your life. If Tennessee would have honored you guys by showing up, then, yeah.
My only other one, because I've got issues with the seeding and the conference champions being guaranteed a top four seed. Although Arizona State proved that, not all those games, as a four seed, they gave Texas a really good game. I think there are some clunky things about how the 12 is structured, and I think they'll correct those things. The only other quibble I have is just my own impatience because I hate the amount of time in between the rounds. In the NFL, it's a week. These, the first set of playoff games were played on the 20th, and there was not a single other game until New Year's Eve. It's 11 days.
Yeah.
Then it's another 10 days until the next round, and then after that, it's going to be another 10 days until the title game. Now, I get why that is. The college football playoff is seeding to the NFL's popular. They're scheduling all this around the NFL playoff schedule.
But then the problem is too with the NFL. The NFL has just thrown everything into an even bigger loop by playing games on almost every single day of the week this year.
I
feel very disoriented time-wise right now.
Yeah.
There used to be a certain rhythm to my holidays and football viewing and everything else like that. Between the NFL and especially the way the Texans had it this year and with college football, I barely know which way is up and what day of the week it is. Everything feels off.
The holidays, Christmas and New Year's being on a Wednesday exacerbates that whole thing too. It's the holiday.
It's a weekend, then a holiday, and then a little bit, and then a weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. So you and I solved that by working yesterday because we're working.
That's why I did. Yeah. I was like, no, I can't take any more disruptions to my schedule. I'll forget my potty training if any more of this goes on. I'll just
smell.
Why is Seth acting up? Why did he poop his pants and now he's got mange? What the hell's going on with Seth?
The football schedule. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
We have a psychotic cat that it's like if we mess up one thing with her schedule, it's Like, she's kind of got a routine. We keep her, she needs to, like, we keep her in the back part of the house after we give her dinner at night.
Oh.
So she's got, don't worry, it's not a little closet or anything. It's several rooms, but she stays back there.
Yeah.
Because she's an issue at night.
Yeah.
But if we, like, feed her and we're like, yeah, maybe we'll, you know, like, let's try to stretch it out a little bit to see if she'll hang out on the couch with us. If we feed her meal but leave the door open to the back area of our house, within, like, 3 minutes, she's out agitating to get fed again.
Really?
Like, it's just, like, pacing around and caterwauling and everything. She completely forgot that she already ate.
Wow.
So, like, she's such a creature of habit and routine that we can't mess with it at all. And that's what I feel like right now, like my psychotic white cat.
Yeah. So does she bring enough to the table, though, to make up for that high maintenance
Snowy?
Attitude?
No. Not one bit.
Snowy that you're talking about?
I call her white privilege. She's got no idea how good she has it, and she won't shut up about how miserable she is all the time. So Snowy, because she's an all white cat.
Yeah.
She's psychotic. I don't know. She's very lovey.
Yeah.
For like about, I'd say 90 minutes out of the day. It's because it's a half hour. It's 45 minutes after she's been fed. We had to put her on a diet because she won't stop eating.
Yeah.
So after breakfast and after lunch, she's lovey as hell for 45 minutes, and then she immediately starts agitating for more food.
Oh my God, that sounds awful.
And she attacked our child like relentlessly for like 12 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, boy, sounds like an amazing pet.
I tried. I came very close to taking care of the situation multiple times.
By finding a loving home for her that wasn't yours, right?
Yeah, my abused child wouldn't, because of, you know, Stockholm Syndrome and everything, wouldn't allow
really?
It.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Yeah. That's funny. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, D'Amico Ryan's met with the media yesterday. New face in the building, old face coming back in. We heard from D'Amico on both of those, and we'll do that. Talk about that. We'll hear from D'Amico coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln of Sugarland. On the Southwest Freeway, exit Kirkwood and take the first U-turn at West Airport under the giant American flag.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Someone texted in and said, I'm listening to the show on Rewind. By the way, great Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Someone says, I'm listening to the show on Rewind. Seth almost gave me a heart attack when he was talking about resting C.J. Stroud. I thought he said arresting C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
I got flashbacks.
I think they should arrest him to keep him from playing.
Right.
Save
him from himself. Yeah.
If you're a Houston police officer who actually gives a damn about the Texans,
right,
you'll do what you've been sworn to do, which is protect and serve.
Yes.
You protect CJ by arresting him and preventing D'Amico from playing him in the game against the Titans.
And then make sure he's acquitted in time for the wild card round.
You know, back when I was a cop, it used to mean something.
You were a cop. That I would love to see.
Back when I walked the beat, I would have said, look, I am sworn to protect and serve.
I
am going to protect CJ Stroud, and by doing that, I will serve the good people of Houston or the Village of the Memorial Village of Westchester.
I would love to watch the court proceedings of an arrested, like a perp who's sitting on the stand and getting grilled by a lawyer, and then saying, and then what did he say to you? He said to go die.
I would have been the worst cop.
And you're just
cop,
sitting
man.
In the back of the courtroom with your arms folded, nodding your head. You're like, damn right I told you to go die.
That's the whole thing, too. It's not like, it wouldn't be like the classic thing you might expect, is that somebody would piss me off over something really dumb, and that's when I'd bring out the old.
Yeah.
I'd bring out a billy club.
Oh,
not even like
school.
The issued whatever. I'd have like an old school billy club from back in the day.
Yeah.
From England in the 1920s.
Policeman
set. Or no, what are those things that they use, the cops, the Donnie, or what are they called? It's like almost looks like a shoe horn.
Text in. Oh. I know what you're talking about.
Somebody text in, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, 713-572.
It's a little club. It's a tiny little club that the Irish cops in the movies used to use.
Send it into the text page.
That's when I knew I wanted to be a cop. I watched Sean Connery beat the snot out of somebody in The Untouchables with that little mini club. I was like, that's the life for me.
That's what I want to do. Now I'll be a football player instead. All right, here's D'Amico Ryan's yesterday. Deontay Johnson. Johnson had his second practice as a Texan. He'll have his third one shortly here. They're practicing again today and tomorrow. Here was
a shillelagh.
Is it a shillelagh?
No, shillelagh's bigger. Go ahead.
D'Amico Ryan's on Diontae Johnson.
Yeah, Diontae will be out there this week.
What have you liked from him so far? I know it's been a very short time.
Yeah, I mean, Diontae, he's come in and he's put his head down and he's worked. He's working hard to catch up with the playbook and the things that we're asking him to do. And, again, this is really, what, second day out practicing with us. So he's picking it up pretty fast. And, you know, we'll try to put him in situations where we can, you know, utilize him and utilize his strengths.
All right, so there's Diontae Johnson. I think Diontae Johnson gets a very, very healthy number of snaps in this game.
I think he does, yeah. I think they're going to try to integrate him as much as possible. Blackjack.
I was going to say a blackjack, but I don't think of that as a cop thing as much as I do like a mugger-like thing. You know, like I feel like a blackjack is something that somebody gets hit with.
Well, that's where I think it was like those old Irish cops that would walk the beat and everything. They just wanted a little something. Yeah. Sometimes they're leather, right? It's like a leather, yeah. Like it's
one.
Leather. It's a leather pouch with like you keep some lead in it,
rocks in it or something. Yeah,
a blackjack. That's the weapon you want.
Yeah,
I bet they don't, because the cops aren't even looking for that. Yeah. He's just carrying a blackjack. Like most cops, especially like some Gen Z cop, he's gonna frisk you down, and you're like, oh, that's where I keep my USB drives, officer. They're like, all right, sounds right to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're scot free to go use that blackjack whenever you want.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so Diontae Johnson, this is the question. Yes, I want to get him integrated in the offense, but I do also like the prospect of a kind of an ambush quality with him. That, all right, look, Diontae Johnson's had his issues with various teams and what have you. He's just got to be on his best behavior for a couple weeks here, and nobody knows how you're going to use him. There's no like tendencies on it or anything else like that. I would imagine teams will look at it and say, all right, well, they're going to probably try to use him as much like Tank Dell as possible.
He's the tank guy, yes.
Yeah. But it's a little bit of a, you know, with no film on him in this offense and with this quarterback, then I don't think you worry too much about showing your hand, per se, in this game. But I also don't worry. I don't think he needs a boatload of reps with C.J. Stroud. I think it's just him getting into the offense, getting into the timing and the rhythm of the... Hey, listen, Diontae, around here, we break the huddle with 4 seconds left on the play clock try to snap it before there's a...
There's 25 seconds left on the play clock. Yeah. Deontay's running out. Where are you going? Come back. We don't break for another 12 seconds, buddy.
You got to get used to that part of it. Yeah. Like, hey, listen, Diontae, this is the way we operate. But, I think get him like 10 targets. Get him feeling nice and good about, hey, maybe this is a showcase playoffs run for me. And there we go. We're off to the races.
You know what I was checking on Diontae Johnson? Because the Texans were using Tank this way when he got injured was in the return game. And unfortunately, he has not been used as a returner since 2020. Ooh, he did return an 85-yard punt for a touchdown his rookie year back in 2019. And he was second team all pro as a returner, but that was 5 years ago. So I'm guessing they just give him the playbook, said be a wide receiver and go digest that, my friend.
I can get a Boston leather sap.
You are shopping
blackjack
for blackjack
for $35
on Amazon.
Yeah, 2025 is going to be a good year for me.
I need you to order a blackjack. On a click where you click and it says it'll be there between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. tonight. I need a blackjack and I need it now.
I just want to meet the people who put the filter same day delivery on for their blackjack. Yeah. I think you can get away with a lot of stuff. I think a lot of people, like, even when they're trying to do the forensics on whatever crime I commit, they're going to be like, we don't know what they hit him with.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, only if there's some old guy in the forensics department that's like, I remember a case I worked in 1923. That's a blackjack. I've seen it.
That'd be great if you ordered one and then you play a little game with like your friends. Like, whatever the last thing you ordered on Amazon is what you've got planned for the upcoming year. You know, you got a friend that ordered like a spatula or something like that. Like, he's going to get into cooking. You go to Seth. He's got a blackjack. Seth's going to mug a bunch of people. This is great.
Let's see. Ooh, I could get a 4-ply midget sap. That doesn't sound politically
feels a little
correct at
politically
all. Listen,
incorrect.
If I'm going to beat somebody with a blackjack, I'm going to do it with a little person blackjack. Not a midget blackjack.
No.
This is a kinder, gentler nation we're in now.
You're a politically correct assaulter, okay?
I respect you.
Not a midget blackjack. Little person blackjack. All right. Hey, guess who's back? Aziz Alshire is back. He is back in the building. He will play on Sunday. Here's D'Amico Ryans on Aziz Alshire returning to the fold.
I want to see Aziz get back out there and play football. It's been, you know, 3 weeks since he's been able to get out there and play. So it's just a matter of getting back out, hitting guys, getting used to hitting the ground again, getting up, making sure everything, you know, is still. It takes reps. You know, in real live reps, when you miss as much, you know, the time that he's missed, you have to get that real live action, right? And that's what he needs, get him back to it. He's excited to get back out there and play for us, and we're excited to have him back. You know, we've really missed his leadership, missed his communication, you know, not only on the defensive side, but for our entire team. So I'm fired up to have him back for us.
I know you thought that I was just going off on some weird tangent with my blackjack purchasing.
Right.
But, man. If there's any guy on this team that I would love to walk into a seedy bar with, and we both had a blackjack on us.
You'd wreck shop.
Aziz is the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Aziz or D'Amico Autry, who Nick Caserio said is a bad MF-er who you want in a dark alley with you.
That's right. Yeah. I think between D'Amico Autry and Aziz and me
and you,
with our three blackjacks. Yeah.
And that is a superhero show waiting to happen right there.
That's a movie scene where everybody is like just selecting their weapons, and like everybody else is like grabbing a gun, grabbing a knife, big long knife or something. Yeah. The guy that grabs a blackjack, you're gonna look at him and be like, okay, I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
nobody else was gonna check. There's a reason he wanted this blackjack. Yeah,
I don't want to mess with this guy.
Well, earlier in the week, D'Amico. Had said something about Aziz knocking the rust off.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, that's a curious way to describe Will Levis's helmet, but I'm here for it.
Or Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. They're both going to play.
Can you imagine if, like, that? Because Brian Callahan, the coach of the Titans, said they're both going to play, but nobody asked a follow up question. And if they did, they're like, well, why are both of them going to play? And Brian Callahan's like, well, Aziz Alshire's back. He's clearly going to decapitate the first guy. So they're definitely both going to play. Did you watch the Jags game? They both played in that game, Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's like if he's wearing the Oilers helmet, if it were an authentic Oilers helmet from back in the day, there'd be some rust on it. And he's going to knock the rust off. That's a rusty old helmet, and he's going to knock it off.
Dude, Aziz had to wear that rag of a uniform last year, remember? He was a Titan. Mm-hmm. Right? He had to wear that. It's a great uniform, but once it's in Tennessee, it's not a great uniform anymore.
Right.
If it belongs to Amy Adams Strunk and it's being worn at her behest, it's a rag. It is a stinky, smelly rag. And poor Aziz.
It's like a delicate pastry sitting on top of a cow pie.
Big pile of manure. Yeah. So, all right. Pain and Pendergast.
Something they know about in the streets of Nashville.
That's right. At least two people.
There's manure all over the place. They don't have. The problem with Nashville is, look, they've done some really cool things with that city. Don't get me wrong. But they don't have indoor plumbing, and it's obvious. Like it's disgusting. Open sewers running down the street.
Yep.
It's disgusting.
It'll be on 5 Reasons I Hate You tomorrow. Don't worry. Tomorrow's Friday, by the way. It doesn't feel like Friday tomorrow. You're right. I'm messed up schedule wise right now.
Today feels like January 5th.
It does. Yeah. It feels weird, man. All right, Peyton Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. All right, we haven't played this yet. The Rockets won last night. They beat the Mavericks. Cam Whitmore was a big part of this. If you were to listen to Cam Whitmore's media scrum after the game, you would not think he was a big part of a win or even a basketball game if you listen to him. Is this why he may have fallen to 20th in the draft a couple of years ago? We'll have that for you, and we'll talk to the guys on In the Loop as well. Hand it off to them coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. You and Brandy were having a lot of important conversations yesterday, man.
We were yeah. discussing the welfare of the show,
yeah.
the health of the show, and our quest to be the best in the world.
Right.
And part of it was based on you and I had the discussion yesterday about how there's kind of different genres of sports radio. Like, you go to, in some markets, like in Boston, where you think it's hardcore sports talk all the time, some of their more successful shows are like 25% sports, 75% just random, like, joking and everything.
Yeah.
But I think where you and I are have an ability to, I think, like, we're not all that hot takey. Like, I don't think, I never feel I need, like, we got to separate ourselves by having the hottest or craziest or boldest takes.
Right.
But enough people find us funny that's where we can, like, because we get to lean into that a little bit.
Sweet spot.
I know there's a certain portion of you guys that don't think we're funny at all, and you say, hey, you guys aren't comedians and everything, and I silently wish that you go die. Don't worry. But that's something we kind of lean into, and it makes the job more enjoyable.
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't have to turn into contentiousness.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, if we were going to be the best in the world, we need to lean into that side of it a little bit, not by being, like, you know,
just goofy all the time.
But maybe just, yeah, working on that aspect of it
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'm with you on that. To that end, people seem to really like you talking about mugging people with blackjacks with a couple current members of the Houston Texans.
Well, what a just violent, so you know, reckless cop I would have been if I had chosen that route.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, just not goofy at all.
We need to lean into more police brutality humor. Right. I've got a finger on the pulse of the nation, and I can tell that's what they're looking for.
Right. A long time now.
Oh, to be clear, man. I'm not bashing the police. I think I would have been run out.
Yes.
It would have been like, I would have been, internal affairs would have been on to me real quick. Okay?
Without question.
As soon as they caught a whiff of that, my catch of cocaine from the evidence room. No. How come that rookie cop is hanging around the evidence room so much?
Someone texted in, Seth, the undercover rookie cop who bought drugs in San Francisco. If you missed that, then you missed the show.
I didn't buy the drugs.
That's what this
I didn't buy
saying.
The drugs. It was the person I was with, and I had no idea he was about to buy drugs.
Yeah.
I tell you, it was like an after-school special.
It was.
I was hanging out with the wrong characters, and all of a sudden, I'm like standing next to a drug deal on the streets.
Oh, man.
Guy buying drugs from a stranger. I just, they almost lost me. I was almost in the clink.
Yeah.
Turns out, I did some research after the show, and it's like, okay, it was 2015.
Yeah.
Recreational marijuana wasn't legal yet, but it had been very much decriminalized. So I was probably in no danger of like anything bad happening. But in the moment, I didn't know.
No.
All I knew was this dude was buying drugs all of a sudden from a stranger.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what happened to that guy. Anyways, so Cam Whitmore last night was a big part of a Rockets win over the Mavericks. We love that. We don't care that Luka Doncic was out. Kyrie Irving was there. We hate him too. So that was fun. 110-99, the final score. I like seeing it because unlike the last couple Rocket games where they coughed up massive leads, they didn't do that this time. In the fourth quarter, they were able to kind of close things out. Cam Whitmore was a big part of this. They were missing Tari Eason and Amen Thompson, the two Terror Twins, so they were not there. So plenty of minutes to be had off the bench at the wing position, and Cam Whitmore took advantage of his opportunity, man. He scored 18 points, 3 of 4 from downtown. I think he was like plus 20 on the plus-minus. He had a really good game.
Yeah.
You would not know it, and this is a fairly long piece of audio. It's about a minute and a half, but it's a lot of back and forth with the media where my big takeaway after all this is like I kind of see why a lot of teams shied away from Cam Whitmore at draft time a couple years ago.
How did it feel just to, you know, get consistent minutes there in that second quarter, but also in that fourth quarter to close the game?
I don't think it was consistent minutes. I really don't know or think that. I contribute a little bit, but it doesn't really, affect anything. It doesn't really, can't get me nowhere. But we'll see what happens. But just glad we got the win.
You don't feel good about how you played tonight?
I do, but it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
Is it kind of just a weird spot with where you're at right now?
No, not a weird spot. I just don't know. Just don't know what's going on. So I have a lot of question marks for myself.
In what way?
No other way. It's just I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the the deal with me is, but I just don't know.
Did you feel like coming in the second quarter that you need to provide that spark, you know, with the team trailing by 10 points?
That's my goal. I mean, every time I step on the floor with these guys, just to bring energy, spark, joy, just, you know, some juice to, you know, help these guys, you know, win.
What was your mindset on defense, especially? The whole team seemed really locked in on that end tonight.
I mean, I feel like we had to defend. I mean, that's like, you know, they're coming off Eastern Conference. I mean, Western Conference Finals. So, I mean, they're a very good team. We got Kyrie and Klay Thompson. So, I mean, definitely had to dial in a little bit more. It's not just any team we were playing.
Do you think that you've done enough to show that you deserve a consistent role and consistent minutes?
No. I don't.
What more do you think you need to do?
Sure, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I have a lot of question marks for myself, just as you guys too. But yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what other things I can do.
Okay, that's the end of it. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, I just, man, you know, like if I were gonna maybe take that as generously as possible, the only way that would make sense is if the organization has genuinely not given him feedback on to what he needs to do, how he needs to improve, explain to him that there are the composition of the team is such that you got a lot of athletic wings on this team that whether you want to call it a logjam or whatever, it's going to be harder to carve out time for him. I like guys being frustrated and wanting to play more, but acting like he doesn't have any answer or any kind of understanding of why or what he needs to do to get more playing time. Udoka doesn't strike me as a guy who's not upfront with guys.
Thank you. Yes,
you know, like, do you really think Udoka's just maybe, is Udoka too afraid to be critical of him and maybe he hasn't communicated with him? Like, no, of course not.
Yeah.
It annoys me.
To your point, it paints the coaching staff in a bad light. Like, oh, they're not communicating they're not providing clear communication
I would believe they are. You know,
100%.
I'm saying hypothetically, the only way that I would like kind of side with him is if that were the situation, then I doubt that's the situation.
Yeah, like do you think, this is a rhetorical question, you've already answered it, but this is for the audience, like in the year and a half that they've had Ime Udoka here, season and a half, is there anything that strikes you about Ime Udoka as being passive aggressive, incommunicative, clear with what the goal? Like, this is a guy, you know what Ime Udoka's ethos is. Look, Cam Whitmore's frustrated, and this is part of being drafted onto a team with a ton of young guys like this, where they add a couple veteran guys who take two more spots, you know, and there's not a lot of minutes to be had. And the fact of the matter is that Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün are already, they're embedded starters. They're not going anywhere. Jabari Smith, Amen Thompson, and Tari Eason bring more of what this team needs to the table right now than Cam Whitmore does. That's why you're on this yo-yo string to Rio Grande Valley and back and forth all the time.
And now, by the same token, like where I will try to be more tolerant and generous in my assessment of young athletes these days is that they are young. I mean, Cam Whitmore's 20 years old.
Yep.
And I think his birthday's in the summer. Like, he's 20.
In July, I checked the same thing you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
How old is he? Yeah.
Right. And, like Şengün, you don't think of as a young guy anymore. Şengün's 22. Yeah. all these guys, Jalen Green was so young and acted it and played like it that there is a part of it that, man, you just kind of accept that, all right, some of these guys, it's like dealing with a sophomore in college.
Yeah.
You gotta, guys, when they're a sophomore in college, a lot of them still have a lot to learn by the time they're, you know, if CJ Stroud had to mature a good amount between his second and third year in college.
Absolutely.
So it's frustrating, but I think that if anything, maybe because we've seen maturity out of those other guys over the course of years, like this is just the nature of the reality of the NBA these days is that a lot of your young studs are really, really young, and there's a maturation that needs to happen.
If that weren't an interview, like with a bunch of media there, if I was having a one-on-one conversation with Cam Whitmore, and I was just talking to him, and he was dishing, like the exact same transcript existed, right? The same answers, and I'm asking him the questions just as a one-on-one conversation. By about the third or fourth time where he's like, I don't know, he's got a lot of question marks. I'm just not sure. Do you think you've done enough to earn things? No, I don't. Well, why is that? I don't know. I just have a lot of questions. After about the third or fourth time, I would have said, dude, you shouldn't be talking to me. You need to go talk to your coaches if you have this many questions. Like, clarity is a huge thing in any relationship. It's very clear to me that he does not have clarity, or if he does, then he doesn't feel like sharing it with the media.
On the organization side of things, like with again, even though I don't think this is the case, there are a lot of times where, you know, there is bad communication between coaches explaining to players exactly what they want and what the plan is or why they're doing things in professional sports, especially because I think there's a feeling of like you never want people to know exactly how you feel about them, et cetera, for business purposes. So maybe there's some avenue for that. Maybe there is. Maybe somebody in the Rockets is going to say like, all right, you know what? Maybe we haven't been clear enough with Cam about exactly why we're doing all of this. But yeah, you know, obviously there's potential there.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of just these are little interpersonal things that you got to iron out, especially with young athletes.
Yeah. If I had to handicap it, I would guess that if the Rockets were to make a trade with the deadline coming up next month, that Cam Whitmore will be a part of that trade. Yeah. If I had to guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably, and I guess that's the other part of the NBA, too, is that you can agitate your way into a different situation. It might be as simple as Cam wants to go to a situation where there is a clearer path to playing.
Sure.
And no matter what the organization has told him, he's gonna be public about it.
Yeah, but I watched that, and I'm like, man, okay, I can see now. That combined with just his general body language, like, he always looks a little pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that combined with that interview, and maybe I'm just taking very small chunks and reading into it, but I'm like, okay, there was not an injury that made him the 20th pick in the draft. Everybody expected him to be a top five pick that night. You know?
This is another side of it, another deep conversation that Brandy and I had yesterday. We were talking about kind of sometimes as coaches, sometimes as a coach, you read too much into how a player responds or answers a question or something, because she was talking about a player. Another coach she knows who said, see, this girl came to me and said she wanted to know why she wasn't playing more. And that's what I want. Somebody who's hungry to play. And Brandy is like, gosh, when I was a player, I don't think I would have felt that was disrespectful somehow. Like, especially because Brandy grew up in a real strict household. Don't question authority. Don't do any of that. And so there's that part of it. Like, sometimes, like, the player doesn't feel comfortable asking something like that.
But
if that's the situation, then you also don't go out and say it to the media.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, like that's the other part of it. So I find it unlikely that Cam is afraid to talk to the coach, but will put the organization kind of on blast.
Yeah, you know? He doesn't strike me as unintelligent. Like, I think he knew what he was doing there. You know, like, I don't think he got home, got on Twitter, watched a video, and said, "What have I done? What have
I done?" Yeah.
You know, feedback on the text page, Seth. You guys are funny looking.
Oh, hey. Hey, what the hell, man?
Yeah. He's another text.
Yeah, that's actually a bigger insult. The big insult used to be you've got a face for radio, mm-hmm. where now as everything is rapidly moving towards streaming, saying that I'm funny looking, I can't get away with that anymore. I got to be somewhat presentable.
Them's fighting words, yeah. Y'all just effing suck. That's why I listen every single day. That's good. We like that.
Thanks, Mom.
What's up, fellas?
Hate listens to listen.
Oh, yeah. We'll take it, man.
Let's go Irish.
We'll take millions of them. Let's go Irish.
Let's go Irish.
He's not speaking out of any level of love.
No, this is...
Are you talking about the football team?
Yes. Yes.
Are you talking about the football team?
No, yes.
Or are you talking about me wanting to be a dirty Irish cop that carries a blackjack?
Both now.
Okay.
Yeah, both now.
I don't even know who we were talking about. I smell green with you, and it's not the green of the Shamrock.
It's not.
I smell.
It is definitely
I heard
not.
The line on that game has moved to -1 Notre Dame. Is
minus
that true?
-2.
It's -2 Notre Dame. Why do you think that is?
Well, they're going to win, by God.
Well, no, I know that. I knew that already. But, I'm just wondering, and this is probably, like, maybe inappropriate just because of what's happened in the last 24 hours in New Orleans. But I do wonder, like, is there any feel in the betting community that somehow Notre Dame is better equipped to handle this shuffling of the schedule?
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of anything that affects the handicap.
I don't know. Now you got me thinking about that.
Well,
yeah.
too late to think anymore. You got your hard-earned green debt. Well, welcome to the club, John.
Well, I'm
Irish.
It's a temporary club.
There's a shillelagh. There's some a green cap and a green leprechaun outfit.
It expires.
Is there a buckle on that cap?
There's a,
like,
It's oh, like yeah, it it's authentic, yeah. man.
Sister Mary Ambrose, who I talked about recently, is finally very proud of me.
It only took several days.
50 years, 55 years.
Yeah.
We all know it wasn't about the grades.
Speaking of buckles, if you guys don't have this audio already, it'll be in our show notes. There's we've got some audio of Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle for the Titans, talking about how emotional it was for Amy Adams Strunk to win that last game in Houston. But he kind of misspeaks, and he says he's telling about a belt buckle that she has that she was wearing. But he says she showed me her butt. I mean, a belt buckle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just want to cut that up into Amy Adams Strunk showed me her yeah. butt.
Both could be true.
You feel like someone is throwing up in the middle of a segment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Oh, they put the new profile pick up yesterday. We got Amy Adams cosplay.
They sure did.
Amy Adams cosplay has begun.
Yeah, they sure did. And I just loved going through the various responses of folks. To that, and I'm looking forward to relaying some of those to the listening audience.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, because this is the first week. This is the first Titans week with the Oil Derrick uniform that Reggie has had a chance to do with you.
Yes,
and obviously you've got some much more long ranging thoughts on
very
that.
Deep. Yeah, very deep thoughts on that.
Yes, yes
very deep
yes.
emotions.
Deep can it go with four letter words?
It goes pretty deep. I'm very creative.
All right. Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Just ask my wife. She said, I've never heard anybody cuss like you.
Thank you. Are you a creative cusser?
Yes.
Like old school, like an old Marine?
Usually okay. only when I'm driving.
Okay.
Like they become adverbs, verbs, nouns.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're a writer. You know, at the core of you, you are a writer.
Yes.
And you are like for anybody that's never actually read John Lopez's writing, because if you're of a certain age, you know, John.
Well, because he gave it up a long time ago.
I still do. I dabble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say so.